Suarez is better than Henry, though. Like, genuinely, he just is.
Where did this come from? Hold on.
He just is, though. Way more consistent.
Yeah, low-key, I fucking agree with that, actually.
Way more consistent. We here!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Real Football Podcast for episode 56. Of the Real Football Podcast.
Say something? I just want to say something. I never know the episode.
Go ahead.
In fact, you can do research and always know the episode number is applaudits to you.
Mate, you do the intros. These are the kind of responsibilities that you need to bear, innit? Is this our first ever two-man pod, Blake?
Like me and you specifically?
No, like the first ever on the pod. Have we had a two-man before?
I don't think we have.
I don't know if we have. We've always talked about the two man because these MFers are so busy. But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, we are here. Me and Blake have nobody getting in our way of arguing this whole episode. It's a two man pod and it's our first episode since the Euros final, since the Copa America final, since United have confirmed two players, since Arsenal are, I guess, here we go, it's kind of confirmed, have confirmed one player. It's kind of like the boring period in the football calendar. Usually we're just starting off with preseason, but it's a time of preseason where like the scrubs play. So nobody really watches it or cares. But there's a lot going on. There's a lot to talk about since we haven't potted in a minute here. And how are you feeling about it all, Blake?
I mean, I just want Arteta ball back, to be honest. That's all I care about. There's Olympics to watch, I guess.
There is Olympics to watch. Did you see what's happening with the Argentina game yesterday?
What the heck was that?
What in the world was like riots on the field? Literally event one.
What is happening with these like crazy fans recently? Like I don't want to say it's the South Americans, but the South Americans have really caused a lot of problems over these last. Well, actually, that's rude of me to say. It was the South Americans in Copa America, but then it was also Moroccans in the Olympics. It was the Moroccans or was it the Argentinians?
The Moroccans were the ones
They came down, right? This trend of stopping the game and, you know, making start times go later and sneaking into fucking stadiums, like, it needs to stop. And can we talk about that first of all? Can we go back to the...
Yeah, go ahead.
We will start with Copa America, but this, I was livid and I'm still annoyed. I'm so fucking mad because I don't care what kind of goal you have. It's like your dream to get into this final and watch it in person. Like, sit your ass down and don't break a law. Like, it's just ridiculous. It ruins it for everyone else. The players, I'm sure, didn't have as good of an experience playing as they could have if it was running smoothly as it should. Yes, could have. Authorities done better for sure, but in that circumstance, like, you have a mass amount of people just crowding and shoving and barging their way into a stadium. Like, it's ridiculous and it's terrible, and Colombia should have been sanctioned, so should have Argentina, but it was the Colombian fans mostly, from my understanding, and there should be sanctions for that. There should be sanctions for what they did in the other game in the semifinal as well. There was nothing given for that. There has to be sanctions, and I don't know why there isn't. We've seen sanctions being given two teams because of their fans, and it should be no different with nations. So I don't know why that's a thing.
Dude, it's like, it's such like the chaos we saw on that Sunday night was like just like the perfect summary of how like amateur the Copa America has been. And it's honestly a testament to like how the US might not be as prepared as we thought to host the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we're less than 2 years away from that. And this is how the infrastructure worked. Like, Hard Rock Stadium said they had more security there than they usually have for NFL football.
But it's just weird because, like, they hold literal major mega fucking concerts and the Super Bowl. Like, football fans are just different. I understand that. But I don't know. Like, it must just be the passion of it all. Like, yeah. This doesn't happen at Super Bowls. Like, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. But either way, that's like, as a human, just do better. Like, it's simple as that. Just do better. I don't know. That pissed me off. And that left a sour taste in my mouth for the entire game. But anyways.
I saw someone that went to the game as a ticket mm-hmm. fan, all that stuff. And he talked about like his time getting in and how like ridiculous it was. He said by the time that he was in there and the match was underway, he predicted that like 70% of fans sitting in the stadium didn't have a ticket. Ridiculous. That is it's ridiculous.
Crazy. Like that should,
I didn't realize it was that like so many fans like spent a fortune on buying tickets to go to the Copa America final. And I know they're probably gonna get refunded or anything, but that's like, you're not going to get that dream back, no. are you? Like, this is like a once in a lifetime kind of thing for a lot of these people. And to get turned away like that is...
It's just selfish. Crazy. It's just completely selfish from all the fans who did that. And I hope they all go to jail realistically. Like, it's just ridiculous. I have nothing good to say about it. It's genuinely and utterly ridiculous.
Yep. Doesn't help with their reputation. That's for mm-hmm. damn sure. Literally in an election year when there's one candidate going... These immigrants. I'm sorry. I don't want to get political, but it's just, crazy. You know, it's not a good look. It's not a good look. But anyways, I got one question for you before we get into like the nitty gritty of analyzing these two mm-hmm. football games. I'm going to ask you your favorite Euros moment. Go.
Oh, shoot. You put me on the spot.
I'll answer first because I actually thought of this one. And for me, I was thinking of moments, and first I thought of the World Cup because there's a lot of like moments from like a neutral standpoint that I feel I'm going to remember forever. There wasn't as many in those.
I know. Games.
So my moment that I picked out was Portugal's late winner against the Czech Republic in game one, just because like selfishly I watched it with like my grandma. She just come back from Portugal, and like it was a cute little moment. It was a cute little moment. The Porto youngster scoring the winner.
Nice.
But like, there wasn't like that many like insane I have moments one, that I'm going to tell my grandchildren about, you know?
I don't even know who scored it though. It was when Italy went down in the first minute in their first game. But who scored that? What? Who are they even playing? I don't know.
Bayrami.
Oh, Bayrami. Is that Albania? No, is it Albania? I don't know. Okay.
It's Albania. Yeah.
That was funny because I told you this story on the pod, but I was at a Jays game and I was watching it. Yeah. That was definitely one of my favorite moments. That was so funny.
Because literally a meme before.
I know.
In Italy. Gordon, I know.
So good. That's funny. Good question. Yeah.
Another one was, I was going to say Calafiori's goal. Not Calafiori's goal. Zaccagni's goal.
Yeah.
Against Croatia.
Yeah, cool.
In the last minute. Cool. Calafiori assist. That was a
Jude's
hell of an
bicycle
assist,
thing, obviously.
Jude's bicycle. I was kind of hate watching England in that moment. I'm not going to lie to you.
England, dude. Damn.
Oh, England. Okay, let's get into England. Oh, what about Saka's equalizer?
Yeah, that one too. Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into the Euros final. Let's get into England. We're gonna give all the praise to Spain, but what the fuck went wrong with the English, man?
I had faith. I really did. And I think I'm a closeted England fan. I really am. Like, I don't know why. Like, I'm really not, because I don't give a shit that much that they lost. But I think it's just because I watch English football so closely that I just feel connected to all of these players. Like, the only player that doesn't play in an English team is fucking Jude, pretty much. So I'm very connected to a lot of these players. Yeah. And, man, I don't know, like... I think Southgate got it right for the most part, like the team wise, but this.
Oh, really? By the end of the tournament.
The team he put in the final.
Yeah.
But this three back was just weird. Like, there was no set plan. And we always talk about this. I know we had a big argument about should Southgate be knighted? And obviously he's fucking not anymore. So there you go. And then obviously he's gone now. That came out a couple weeks after that he's left mm-hmm. the ink, or I don't know what it was, fired, left, whatever, he's gone. They just got it wrong throughout the whole tournament, and I thought it was just a matter of time before they finally got the combination right, or you had another moment from Saka or Phil Foden fucking did something, but those things just didn't happen, and Spain were the best team in the tournament by far, and they deserve to win it.
Yeah. Fair analysis. I mean, like, I got written down here that England just don't really have like an identity, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Like, think of like every good performing national team and what they have over everyone else is the kind of like playing style where you go like, yeah, they're playing like Spain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like Spain, like even like you think of them like their tiki-taka style, but that wasn't even the case this tournament. It was a lot of like wing play, let Nico Williams, let Lamine Yamal do their thing. And they produced fucking magic doing that.
But it was still distinct. It was still distinct to what they wanted to do.
It was distinct. It was possession based. And we saw that in the final, right? It was just like a little more direct than, you know, per like the early 2010s, whatever. But like, what was the identity? What was the style from England without just, besides just being defensively solid?
There wasn't.
Going forward, there was nothing.
And so many players played like shit. Foden played like shit. Harry Kane played like shit. Harry Kane was terrible. He still scored goals, but he was fucking terrible. Like,
he scored one or two?
I think he might have scored three.
But
He was terrible. But he was terrible. It doesn't matter.
So he got the golden boot?
That's ridiculous. No one scored. Really scored this tournament. The golden boot was three goals, right? Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't include own goals.
It was disgraceful. I mean, people were like mad at the midfield too. I thought they did okay for the most part, but I don't know. It was just disappointing to be an England fan. And it's kind of funny that Harry Kane's curse continues, but I don't
know. They were just outclassed. They were just outclassed.
Every aspect.
And I saw the reaction from England fans and they were surprised that they were outclassed. In a way, I kind of want England to do well, too, because I think what you didn't mention is there's a lot of players on England that we fucking love because of our clubs. So naturally, we're going to fucking cheer for them. But, like, they didn't deserve to win this tournament. They didn't deserve shit. They didn't deserve to lift the trophy. They put up such better international tournament performances than this shit, and this was going to be the one that won it. And I was hearing, some reactions, some England fans talking about it. And it's almost like they thought that it was already like written, like it was destiny that they were going to win this game. But like, that's just not how it works. You don't get to win a tournament because, you think the storyline would be good and we've lost a bunch. So
this ain't WWE, baby.
Right? No, bro. That's not how it fucking works. You're not going to complete the story like Cody Rhodes. Like
it's finished the story, but the better close team. Enough. Close enough.
Oh fuck. I was so close.
I'll throw in an F1 reference later, don't worry.
Fuck. So the better team wins football tournaments generally. Yeah. And that's exactly what fucking happened in this one.
Yeah. So
you can't complain, obviously. I thought Yazabal's winning goal was offside for a minute.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. I thought we would see like an outrage from England fans over it because they didn't show the replay.
Yeah.
A couple minutes after it happened, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Unfortunate.
Just outclassed, isn't it? And Cole Palmer scored that goal and you thought, okay, they're going to rally now. We know this script. We know what's going to happen now.
It's just...
here we go.
But maybe he didn't get it right because Cole Palmer should have been playing over Foden. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
And Kane shouldn't have started this many games either.
I just
He should have had the courage to take him off in like the
percent. Like Kane, whatever. He still kind of scored, but he still had a terrible tournament. This Foden performance needs to be dissected, and he better. I hope he doesn't show for City, but he better, because what the hell was that? That was nothing that we saw. He had one decent game, and he still didn't even score or assist, and that was the semifinal.
Yeah.
The rest of the entire tournament was him absolutely ghosting. I get he was playing out of position, but everyone was playing. Jude wasn't playing in his normal position. Saka was playing left back at times. You just got to adapt. If you're that good, you should be able to adapt. And I understand the system didn't work, but it didn't work for a lot of the England team. So that Foden performance was absolutely disgraceful. Like, I didn't even think that was possible for him to be that bad, and he was.
Yeah, I mean, like, very fucking clear from game two, if you're saying we don't have a Calvin Phillips replacement, that's what we call a red flag. If England won this tournament, it would have been an all-time, maybe not all-time because Portugal, but almost all-time fucking robbery. Like,
would have been up there.
would have been up there for sure. But anywho, Spain, fucking fantastic. Lamine Yamal making me feel like a disappointment yet again. these youngsters are fucking special. I hope Nico Williams goes to Barca just so they have something to be excited about for their future.
Why? I don't care about Barca. Are you kidding?
I actually hope so. And Rodri Ballon d'Or, is that happening?
Like, probably. He's definitely top three. I don't know if he'll win it. I still think it probably goes to Vinny or Jude, but he's definitely top three.
Yeah, I see it. I was hearing shouts for Lautaro Martinez Ballon d'Or.
Like, let's just relax.
So this is the argument. Argentina's best player, top scorer in Copa America, won the Copa America, won the Scudetto with Inter Milan, was the Serie A MVP, was the Serie A top scorer. What do they do in the Champions League? I couldn't fucking tell you. but he played well.
I mean, he'll...
And in a world where Rodri's getting no shouts for Ballon d'Or, and then all of a sudden Spain win the Euros and he's a top dog for it, why would you consider? Like, if Sergio Aguero did what Lautaro Martinez did in like 2019, then he'd be getting Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But fuck you, Lautaro. You were terrible in the World Cup final. Let's move on to.
I mean, we can go to that game. Yeah.
Messi.
Another shit show. Like, that game sucked. That game was terrible.
Oh my god. I actually didn't watch the end of the game.
I didn't want to. Like, the goal that Argentina scored was cool. It was cool.
Lautaro Martinez, bro.
Just a terrible game. Like, I don't even know what to say. I think my brain was turned off watching that game because I can't even remember anything.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing did happen.
It was
rough. It was
10 days ago. I was like, I can't tell you.
I'm glad I forgot it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But
in terms of like legacy talk, Messi win again. Not that it changes the fucking whole GOAT debate or anything. But congrats to him. They had a pretty easy road to the final, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, they really did. Like, their biggest comp was us. It was Canada. And
Pretty much.
And we didn't stand a chance in that either. So.
Yeah. There's nothing else to say really about that game. It was fucking 10 days ago.
And honestly, I feel like if we potted right after, we would have kind of had the same reaction. And like, it was just...
To be honest, yeah. The fact that it started almost 2 hours after it was supposed to, and then it delivered that is just... it's just ridiculous.
I just want to forget about it.
Yeah, it makes me a little worried about the World Cup.
I know.
I know this was like comfortable, and it's not the same as FIFA.
But still, it doesn't leave a good taste in your mouth at all.
It definitely doesn't. So anyways, moving off of international football, because we're 20 minutes in.
God.
And
yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Bro, what? Okay. You have a minute. Tell me why club football is better.
Because we watch it all year round. Because we literally start watching. We don't start watching football because of a nation. We start watching football. Usually we start watching football because of.
That's
no,
not true.
No, listen.
That's not watching true. Football.
Get it. 95% of football fans don't go, oh, wait, Portugal. They might go, oh, wait, Portugal. Ronaldo plays for Real Madrid. So you watch Real Madrid. You don't watch Portugal. You watch Real Madrid. Again, it's all year round.
That's
you're more connected to the club because you have more merchandise. So, like, you know, you got more. You're looking at it more.
Brother, what? What the fuck are you talking
about? Bro, there's no debate. Like, what? The football is better. The football is better. There's more chemistry between players. It's more exciting because teams change and there's transfers. I mean, there's more games. Like, and that's a minute. So there you go.
I'm not unconvinced, brother. No, I see what you mean. But in Euro season and World Cup season, like, I'm not wishing for club football to come back. You know what I mean?
When I was watching that Copa America final, I wanted club football back so bad. Like, you have no idea.
Bro, the only reason I was watching is I'm praying that Lissandro doesn't get an injury. Valid. That's the only reason I was watching Argentina.
Pretty cool.
I'm so excited for him to...
Until he breaks his metatarsal again. Him. Like,
I need him to be healthy, please. No word of a lie. I think he's United's number one most important player.
That's fair. That's very fair.
Over Rashford, damn, or anyone that's else. That's fair. Yeah, I know. I think our season is... Eric Ten Hag can be considered sacked if he gets injured again.
Fair.
No. Okay. Speaking of club football, it's back. We're getting into the season. And part of that, like you said, Blake, is transfers. Let's get into transfers. There's been about... It's kind of been like a bit of a slow start to the transfer window because of these tournaments, but now it'll ramp up, obviously. Hopefully. But we've had like 6-7 relevant transfers in the football world. Blake and I are going to go through it. We're going to grade each one, including 3 from our clubs. And we're going to argue about it nice. Yes. Okay? First one is Blake's favorite player. Going to transform the team that he's coming to right now. Okay? Is having an amazing time at international tournaments this summer. It's Miguel.
Oh, you bitch. You bitch.
He's winning 3-0 right now against the U.S., I'll have you know, in the Olympics. He just scored a goal.
My boy Miguel.
Oh, yeah, you're switching up on him now. All right.
Well, okay, I liked him when he scored that free kick against United, and then he stunk up against City. So it's like a give and take with our relationship, you know?
Is his name even Miguel? Am I? Because that's just not French.
No, it's Michael. No, it's Michael.
Yeah, Michael Elise. Why do we say Miguel?
I just call him Miguel because I'm stupid.
Why do I genuinely think it's Miguel now? You,
bro, don't worry. I have my ways. Motherfucker. Don't worry.
Anyways, okay. Elise.
It's a cool move for him, though. It's a really cool move for him.
It is a cool move. And he was linked to for a long time with United and Chelsea and everything. And then just out of the blue, Bayern Munich comes in, says, hey, come to the Bundesliga. Here's a load of cash. And boom, there he is now. And I like it for him.
I do too. And I think I like it for Bayern as well. I mean, I think Leroy Sané is completely done. I think he fucking sucks. I think he lost all of his touch. So maybe this is just recently biased because he was terrible at the Euros. But I think Elise just adds a bit of flair and directness to a Bayern side with like wingers that are kind of already have that. So I think it's just more of what they already have, and it's boosting their ceiling a little bit.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think he's going to freaking cook there. Jamal Musiala played on the right for Germany, so don't know. Or did he play on the left for Germany? Did he play on the left?
No, I think he played on the left.
He scored a lot of goals on the left, so maybe I'm tweaking. I've seen him play for the right,
on the right for Germany.
Wirtz was on one wing, Musiala on the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. I don't remember which side it was. I think they interchanged. Fair. Anywho. So Elise coming off the right, that could do wonders. You would imagine he starts, right? Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. He's good enough to start.
You know, I'm happy for it, for him. I'm not too salty that he's not coming to United. And I would grade it pretty well for Bayern. I will give it. What's the price again? Then I'll decide. Hold on.
Are we doing minuses and pluses? Or are we doing the not that again?
No, I'll just do a number.
Oh, my God. Oh, a number?
Or not a number, sorry, a letter. Or do you want to do minuses? We can do minuses.
Yes, let's do minuses and pluses.
Okay. So give it to me.
How much is it? How much is the price tag?
Hold on. £50 million, €60 million.
Okay.
It's not bad.
B plus.
Yeah, you know what? I'll go A minus.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
They're not overpaying for him. His wages, hold on.
Okay, well, I don't really give a shit about the wages.
But I know that's a reason why United kind of pulled out because of the wages.
Fair. Fair enough.
But anyway.
Fair enough.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, he's doing good. It's an A- for me. I like the business from Bayern. It's a smart move.
Fair.
Next up is the man you thought I was talking about before. It's Ricardo Calafiori, Blake. You got the here we go mere minutes ago from Fabrizio, but we know him for much longer than that. What do you think of Calafiori?
Initial thoughts is I really hope he plays left back. I really hope he plays left back.
I would imagine he does.
That's what I was thinking too. I was talking to some. I was wearing an Arsenal shirt on my trip out to the college with my family the other week, and some other guy was there at a brewery we went to. And I went, hey, nice. He's like, oh yeah, we just got that new Calafiori guy, right? I was like, yeah. He was like, where is he gonna play? I said, probably on the left. He said, instead of Gabriel, or no, he said instead of, we have Timber there. No, Gabriel's gotta go. I said, whoa. You're gonna break up like literally the best partnership in the league last season.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
No. Do I know much about the guy besides what I've seen and what I've looked up on his highlights and what I've seen at the tournament with Italy? No. Does he still look very quality? Yes. Do you want my grade right now? Because it might shock you.
Oh, here we go. Go on.
B.
Okay. Yeah, I'd probably say a B as well.
Because it's only 50 million or 40 million, whatever it is. It's not super expensive.
42 million. Super young.
Thank you.
Solid.
5-year contract. It's, you know, he has a lot of potential, but it's not in a position of exact need. If we paid 50 million for a striker that was like the same level as Calafiori, same age and the same potential, obviously strikers go more than a defender, so whatever. But then I'd be like A+, 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 because we need that. But since the defense is kind of a strong spot for Arsenal right now, I'll go B, because it's not a bad signing at all, but it's not super, super needed.
Yeah. The Daily Mail is reporting the move can now accelerate an exit for Jakub Kivior, who is admired by Inter Milan. If that is true, that's kind of a left back option. If it's like for like, then that suggests that he's going to play on the left, right?
See, I want him to stay though. Like, we need people to play.
I would want, if I was an Arsenal fan, I want Kivior to stay too.
I'd want Kivior to stay too. Cause then you at least have 4 or 5 center backs / left backs that can play there, right?
Yeah.
Cause you have Tomiyasu and you have Ben White on the right, even though Tomiyasu's hurt. But then you have Kivior, Timber, Calafiori, and the 2 starting center backs that can all kind of play left back as well. So it's depth.
Depth. It's such a weird age that we're living in with like these center backs playing as fullbacks now. I don't know what this trend is that you guys are setting with City.
I fucking love it. I think it's so
good. Odd, bro. Cafu did not die for this, okay?
I know. It's not like, be honest with me though. Trent's like the last fullback and he's not even a fullback.
I disagree with that. You still have like the Frimpongs coming through. Like, he's basically a winger playing a right back,
I guess. Frimpong kind of frauded at the World Cup or at the Euros though.
He just didn't get playing time.
That's fair.
The only performance I can remember from him is against Canada. They didn't play their starters there. He fucking cooked us.
True.
Fucking cooked us. Okay, anywho,
next.
Solid B for Calafiori. Next up is the one I'm most interested for you to talk about. Lenny Yoro to Manchester United has already got a preseason game under his belt coming in from Lille for an estimated, let me get 50. Facts right on this one. There were conflicting reports. Hold on. I just want to make sure we are.
I'm waiting.
Just want to make sure we're right. Fuck, bro. All the things are about Rio Ferdinand here. Give me the fucking price. So sorry here. 62 million euros, 52 million pounds, plus 8 so million add-ons.
Okay.
Yeah. Because this is more than Fab reported earlier. So
fair.
So that's why I say. Anywho, your initial reaction when this happened, Blake? Like initial reaction when you found out that we had passed Real Madrid in this race for Lenny Yoro. Then you can get into your thoughts since.
It's a cool signing. It's definitely not not cool signing. It's a very cool signing. It's a good signing, I'd even say. A young guy who clearly has labored interest from the biggest clubs in the world, and he sought out United instead of Madrid. Great. Good for him. Again, I don't know much about him, but cool player. cool player, highly touted. Is good on the ball, I'm pretty sure, right? That's what he's I heard. Decent, yeah. Yeah. You guys needed more depth at the center back position with Varane leaving, and who knows what's happening with Harry Maguire. So it's a good signing for y'all.
Okay. I'm glad you feel that way. Because I feel I'm sensing something, Blake. I feel a little Blake agenda stirring. And I'm a little scared that he's gonna make a mistake in one of his first few games as an 18-year-old, let's remember, and I'm gonna hear some ruthless criticism from you and some other rival fans. What's your patience gonna be for someone like this? Tell me.
The reason why I was so frustrated is my dear friend who actually listens to the pod a lot. Shout out Jack. He listens to the pod all the time.
Which shout is out amazing. Jack. But fuck you, Jack. There
you go. He compared Saliba to Yoro already. He said he didn't compare him directly, but he said something like
he said like one day we're gonna have the comparison.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, It took Saliba like 3-4 years, not even in the Arsenal system, to be the player he is. And he just got on the scene last season. So now you're telling me, last season as in like 2 years ago, whatever. Now you're trying to tell me that this 18-year-old is just going to come in and be Saliba level? Like, and we're going to come, I don't know. It's just a weird comparison. So that's my initial gripe with him. My patience with him is going to be a lot more than Hoyland. I'll tell you that. Because maybe I'm just easier on defenders because it's harder to judge them in a sense, but I honestly think he'll kind of slot right in and be very solid. And I think if Licha's at his best, he can kind of protect him a little bit because Licha's been in the league now for a decent amount of time, despite the injuries. I think that can definitely help him kind of shoe his way into something more consistent. So I think I'll give him a little bit of time. A lot more rather than Hoyland.
Yeah. I mean I don't know if like if he's gonna start for United. I don't know if like the rumors are that we're still looking for another center back. I don't know if that means that we're gonna try to get someone on a cheap or we're gonna go for someone like a De Ligt and start him right away and nurture Yoro.
Yeah.
I'd honestly, honest to God, like super excited for him. I would prefer him to not start in the first season, or at least come in and have to earn his starting spot.
He's a right footer, yeah?
Yeah. He's gonna be a right sided center back for us. Okay. So he works really well with Licha. I'm really excited about it. Licha is kind of like an aggressor, kind of like he's a stopper. Mm-hmm. And Yoro is more of like a cover defender where he'll sweep up from the back and like he'll track runs, and anyone that gets past Licha will then have to, it's very similar to how Varane worked here. But United have this tendency of finding a really good young player and then just throwing them in the deep end, right? Like take Colby Mainoo. He fully fucking deserved his chance as an 18-year-old starting, but like we threw that motherfucker in the deep end. His first start for us was at Anfield, bro. That's crazy.
Crazy.
That's ridiculous. We did the same thing with Marcus Rashford way back in the day when he was coming through. We did the same thing with Hoyland last year. He was not supposed to be a starter for us from day one. We just didn't sign another striker next to him because we were incompetent. We did the same thing with Anthony Martial against Liverpool as well. And I feel like that kind of like burns out a lot of these youngsters, especially when they get to like that 24, 25 stage. Same thing with Garnacho too, even though like not that they've burnt out or anything, but we throw guys in the deep end. And that's really like, I feel like thrown off some young careers in the past, I feel like. So Yoro, I feel like we're going to have to like nurture. If he's a flop, he's a flop. But the reason I really like this transfer is the kind of statement it puts out on the way that United's moving. We beat Real Madrid to a transfer. And I know they didn't want to pay as much as we were paying. If they didn't want to pay that much, then maybe this would be different. The fact was, they really want a Euro as much as the next guy. They called him the Mbappe of center backs. Crazy. But they just couldn't offer as much as we were offering. That's the reason. Like, they didn't wake up one day and go, Lenny Euro, we don't want that guy anymore. And he was dead set on going to Real Madrid too. He was in attendance when they won the Champions League at Wembley. Like, this was like literally last podcast we did. We were talking about Lenny Euro, how I was saying like, oh, it's cool, we sent in a bid for him, but I bet he's gonna come to us. Ha 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 ha. It's so funny. But the fact that we've actually piped him, the fact that we've convinced him to choose us over Real Madrid, it's crazy. Shows how like competent we are now. And the kind of
you seem happy, Drew. You seem happier.
You can kind of see it radiating off the screen. And I mean, like,
still gonna complain about the Glazers in 2 weeks, but whatever.
No. I'm the Glazers are not gonna be mentioned as much.
Good.
Not as much.
Fair. Anyway, what are you rating it?
I'm giving this in A.
Okay, I was gonna give it A-, so we're close.
Okay. I thought you were gonna be like,
you thought I was really gonna hate on the deal.
I thought you were gonna be really biased and go like C+, paid way too much for an 18.
No.
Blake, man. I was not expecting this from you.
Come on, I know ball, don't worry.
Oh, I thought I'd be screaming at you by this point.
No.
Wow.
I know ball.
Man. Just wait till we get to the top 25 list and it's gonna be cool. Okay, let's whiz through these next 3/4 because I do want to get to this ESPN list with you. Joshua Zirkzee is next, another United target.
I know he had a cool season with Bologna.
Yeah, what else can you tell me about him?
That's it. I know he was in the Bayern system, so clearly there was intrigue there. We've all known about Joshua Zirkzee for a while.
I've been knowing that name. Career mode legend back in my Wolves. Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how he's gonna do. It could be great. It could not be. So it's a B minus for me.
He's not a starter.
No.
Definitely not.
It's a B minus. I don't think it's a terrible move. And I think it's good to have Hoyland have like decent competition, but it's a B minus because the upside isn't super, super clear right now.
It's a B plus for me.
Okay.
Fair. I like it. I like that we're paying it in long installments, like 10 mil a year type thing.
I did not know that. Okay, cool.
And same thing with Euro as well. And it's depth in it. And it's young depth, you know? Mm-hmm. We're not buying Edison Cavani. We're not giving him $300,000 a week on deadline day, you know? It's not like fucking Igalo, yeah. I got you.
Again. Maybe B minus is a little harsh, but I'm just not completely sold on him. But
yeah. Okay, bet. Next up is Amadou Onana going to Aston Villa from Everton.
Oh, I do like it. I think he's again a cool player. A lot of cool players going around.
Yeah,
a cool player for 50 mil. I think it was somewhere around there.
Something like that. Yeah, maybe 60 actually.
I like it because with Douglas Luiz out, it does kind of reinforce a position that they needed to reinforce. I have it on TalkSport for 50 million quid.
50 million pounds. Yeah, I see that now.
Yeah. So I'm okay with it. I think it's interesting how he'll do on a team that's like kind of competing for stuff that matters and not an Everton team that's sliding down every fucking year they play. But I think he'll do good. I hope he'll do good. I think he's a cool player and he has that fun little interview clip of, yo, Andre, yo, my name's not even Andre, man.
I love that.
Do you know what I'm trying to, you know what I mean? Anyway.
The accent is crazy.
What do you think about it?
I really like it for them. I think he's a really good player. I would not have mind if United went for him. It's early business for Aston Villa. They really had to sell some players to kind of, they had like some financial fair play issues, but one, they got rid of Douglas Luiz and brought in McKennie, which we're going to get to. So that's like an immediate replacement for him. McKennie's, you know, a good little player. And now they're bringing in Onana for like $50 million. I really fucking like this for them. I really like this for them. I also like it for Everton because that solves their financial issues. Plus, they can be a little bit more stingy on their price for Branthwaite now, which is shit for United, but still.
Wait, hold on the McKennie thing. I also don't think... I think the McKennie thing like fell through. I think he's still a Juventus player.
Wait, is he?
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
Wait, really?
I'm like pretty sure.
Oh, I'm such a casual. Wait, no. Oh, no.
I think I'm right? Am I right?
Oh, I think you're right.
Because I remember it fell through. Like, the swap fell through. He's still obviously, Douglas Luiz is still a Juventus player. Like, he went. But it was just a cash thing.
What happened? Oh, my God. How did I not see this, bro? I remember
seeing that something fell through. Yeah.
I'm literally just realizing now, like, why haven't I seen Weston McKennie in a Villa kit? But no, he just refused to go. Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's why the Onana thing's even better. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. Villa also, they sent Alicia Lehmann with Douglas Luiz as well.
Good for them, man.
For their women's team, hey, if we're talking like business engagement and like social media numbers, listen, it's a business, Blake. All right. So it's a pretty bad move there. But they probably got a good fee for her, to be honest.
Yeah, so
I didn't know the swap fell through. Fuck. Okay.
Yeah, man.
Okay. So that's probably why they got Onana. I'm dumb.
It's okay.
Okay.
So what are we rating that?
I would give this an A- for them.
I was thinking A- too.
Yeah.
I think so as well.
I'm a big fan of this one. Okay. Next up is I have the McKennie Luiz fucking swap deal here, but yeah.
Let's just go Luiz then.
Luiz to Juventus. I mean, I like it for him. I have a little bit of a soft spot for Juventus.
Fair.
Because the girlfriend in it.
Yeah.
I like this for them. They kind of need to bolster up their midfield a little bit. Weston McKennie was kind of a bright spot in a load of shit in that team. And now Douglas Luiz, like low-key Villa's best midfielder, is coming in, and I'm a fan of it. And they got Alicia Lehmann, numbers.
There you go. No, biggest compliment I can say to them is that I'm jealous that he's not an Arsenal player. I've wanted him as an Arsenal player for a while, so.
There you go. There you go. Now we're not going to hear of Douglas Luiz for another 3 years. Love it.
Pretty much.
Okay, that's all I got.
Cool.
We are 45 minutes in, but I think this gives us enough time to go over this list. I want to do it. Fucking list. Okay. So.
Explain to me the list.
So, a couple days ago, ESPN comes out with an article titled Ranking the Top 100 Professional Athletes Since 2000. And Blake, I'm not going to lie to you. And this is not the main list that we're talking about. This is how it started.
Okay.
And I had some issues with this list. To summarize a bit of my issue with the list, they had Serena Williams ranked above Lionel Messi.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They had Simone Biles at number 7 above Tiger Woods and Usain Bolt.
Wait, was Simone Biles over Serena Williams?
She was number 7. Serena Williams was number 2.
Was Serena Williams number 2?
I know. Oh, it goes Michael Phelps, Serena Williams, Lionel Messi, LeBron, Tom Brady, Federer, Simone Biles.
Simone Biles is nowhere in this conversation.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
That's crazy.
And then over Tiger Woods at 8, Usain Bolt at 9, Kobe Bryant at 10.
Bro, give me Christine Sinclair over Simone Biles. What are we talking about?
Christine Sinclair is not on this list. Wait, let me fact check that.
Does she not have the most goals out of any female soccer player ever?
Any soccer player, period. Men and women. I'll have you know. They have... Marta is the highest female soccer player at 32. And the lowest is... Actually, I can tell you where Christine Sinclair ranks because they made a woman's list for the soccer players too. But my main point is... My main point is... Oh, bro, that list is a trap. They had like Chris Paul over Ronaldinho. It was bad. It was so bad. But we're talking about the football list.
Okay, yeah.
After they came out with that, a couple days later, they came back with another article called Ranking the Top 25 Men's Soccer Players of the 21st Century.
Oh, God.
So they made a woman's one, too. And we're not going to analyze that one. I'm sorry. But I can tell you that Christine Sinclair is number...
At least top three. Should be one, but at least top three.
Number... Still okay. scrolling here. Number 13.
Okay. Well, there's me never reading ESPN ever again. That tells you that.
I don't know some of these girls. I've never heard of some of these girls ahead of her. All respect to them. But per Neil Harder, I have never heard of.
Yeah, like, let's just be for real. That's crazy.
Who the... Anywho. Okay. We're talking about the men's list, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're going to go through... We're going to go through the top 25.
Okay.
Quick reactions to them, because there's okay. there's some shockers in here.
Okay.
And then we're going to come up with our own. Okay? Top 25 players of the century, Blake. I want your raw reaction to this.
2000 forward, correct?
2000 and up.
Okay.
Number 25 is Gigi Buffon.
That seems okay.
But then I think a little bit more, I'm like, he might be the best keeper of all time, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Number 24 is Luis Suarez.
Okay. Again, you need to give me a chunk.
Keep that in the back of your mind. Keep that in the back of your mind.
Give me like five player chunks. Give me like 25. Okay. Yeah.
So 23 is Patrick Vieira.
Okay.
22 is Wayne Rooney. 21 is Andrea Pirlo.
Okay.
20 is Neymar.
No. No. Okay. Oh, no.
They put 19 players ahead of Neymar.
Oh, God.
And they put, and I think Luis Suarez at number 24 is ridiculous as well.
Luis Suarez is Luis Suarez better than Rooney? Like, I think so. What?
I would probably, I'd probably say so.
I think so. I would say so.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Andrea Pirlo, number 21, I think is a little bit.
I need to hear the rest of the list.
You need to hear the rest of the list, okay?
Yeah.
All of these players are over the likes of Neymar, Luis Suarez, Wayne Rooney, etc.
Buffon. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Number 19 is Kaká.
Okay. Ballon d'Or.
Ballon d'Or winner. 18, Lewandowski.
Oh, I love him, and I don't like that.
17, Sergio Busquets.
It's okay.
16, Karim Benzema.
Oh no!
So in the Lewandowski, Suarez, and Benzema debate, they put number one.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hey, he's the only one with a Ballon d'Or. So
he was never ever at one point when they were all good, all three of them at the same time. He was over Neymar. All these guys I just mentioned over Neymar. Sergio Busquets over Neymar.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Oh my! All these guys are over Neymar.
Damn.
Fucking ridiculous.
That's wild.
Karim Benzema 16. Number 15. Oh my God, I just scrolled up a little bit too much. It gets worse, Blake. It gets worse. Okay. Number 15, Carlos Puyol. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. 14, Sergio Ramos. Sure.
Uh-huh.
Sure. 13, Tony Cruz.
Oh, this list is weird, bro. This list is so weird.
Yeah, a little bit of bias.
Okay, 12.
Number 12 is Kevin De Bruyne.
Oh my goodness gracious! There's no way we're. Oh my God!
Number 11 is Zlatan.
What? Absolutely not! What?
They put Zlatan over Luis Suarez. Over Neymar, over Lewandowski, over Benzema. Oh my God.
Yeah, you want to know why? Because he went to their fucking shitty ass league. That's why he did that. That's why they did that.
That's exactly crazy. Why they fucking did that. That's ridiculous, bro. Wow.
I don't even want to hear the top 10. Yo, if they put Ronaldo 1, I'm going to throw something. I feel like they didn't, though. Anyway,
number 10, the top 10 players of the century.
10th best
number 10. Number 10 was Ronaldinho.
Yeah, I mean, that seems okay.
Sure.
Maybe.
Sure. Number 9 was R9.
He.
Sure. Yeah. He did a lot. Both those guys did a lot of good stuff before the turn of the century, so they're tough to judge. But
yeah.
Anyway. Number 8, Xavi. Sure. Sure. 7, Iniesta. Sure.
You put them each other. You sure. Bunch those two together. Okay.
Sure. 6, Kylian Mbappe.
No way.
Kylian Mbappe over Iniesta, Xavi, R9, Ronaldinho, Zlatan, De Bruyne.
No way.
And then Benzema, Neymar, Lewandowski, all of those.
That's so high. That's so high, bro.
It's
That's
really
crazy.
Fucking high.
Okay.
I think number 5 is Luka Modric.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over Iniesta and Xavi. Interesting.
Ballon d'Or, I guess.
Yeah. Number 4 is Zinedine Zidane.
Sure.
Number 3, so the best of the rest before Ronaldo, Messi. Number 3 is Thierry Henry.
Hey! Bambo! Like, no. But, like, yes. Yes. Like, just no. But
why the
I
fuck
like
is
that.
He on this? Why the fuck is he at number 3, Blake?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Fucking ridiculous. At number 2 is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay, cool.
Number 1 is Lionel.
Hey, Messi. They got 1-2, right? I guess that means something.
Yeah. Man, oh zero-time Ballon d'Or winner Thierry Henry at number 3.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's fucking ridiculous. So
no Casillas.
No Casillas, no Neuer. Who else? I'm just going off the top of my head. These might not
Yeah, who'd they miss?
No Philip Lahm.
True. No Robin Ribery.
No
fair.
Thomas Muller.
Yeah.
No Robin Ribery. That's another one.
I kind of don't hate the block of players they chose. Just the order is wrong.
I'm going to look up an article talking about it, like, because they'll mention players that missed.
Okay. Top. The block of players isn't totally off basis, I don't think. Like, there's no one screaming at me that we missed, like, unless there is someone.
Yeah, let's see. In the thumbnail of the article, they have Aitana Bonmatí with the men's players. So I thought there was going to be a combined men's and women's list. I would have lost my head, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would have fucking lost my head.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Bro, I'm trying to look for like an article from like the Mail or something. Let's go to Twitter and see people's reaction.
It's a weird, like, I mean, respectfully, TT's still the best.
The number one thing is Neymar. Number 20 is
it's
beyond
crazy.
Disgraceful.
It's
beyond
crazy.
Disgraceful, dude.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Wild.
Like the hate on that man. Holy fuck.
Like it's just because he's gone now. But he was 3 for like 5 years.
Puyol over Neymar. Wow.
Yeah. That's weird. But that's what I mean. It's so hard to compare these like center backs to forwards, but that's weird. Like Neymar's got to be at least like 10, 15. Like he's so far down.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see anyone like talk about. Oh, here we go. Bale not included. Holy fuck. Bale not in there. Robin and Ribery not in there. Aguero not in there.
So, okay, let me pull the list up. I need to pull the list up because, like, is there anyone? So, hold on. You name
Look up ESPN top 25 soccer players.
Okay.
Paul Scholes, Lampard, Gerrard not in there.
Oh,
any of them.
Yeah, true. Okay, because here's the thing. Like, so does I don't think Bale gets in this list.
Really?
Oh,
Bale was really fucking good.
I know, but
the thing, the best players from the Ronaldo and Messi era kind of get overlooked a little bit because Ronaldo and Messi were so fucking good.
But it's like, are you going to put Bale over Sergio Busquets? Like, I don't think I can.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's hard. That's why I don't hate this block of... I don't hate the block of players. Even, yeah. like... Well, okay, if we're not having... If we're having Patrick Vieira on, shouldn't we have... Okay, wait, hold on. Maybe I'm dead ball knowledge, but... should we not have, like,
Henri
over... Should we not have Makalele here?
Makalele?
Yeah.
Why Makalele?
Didn't... Don't they... Hold on. Let me see if he actually played in the 2000s. Yeah, he did. I guess, like, he was kind of better.
Oh, why Makalele in it?
Or who's the...
Conte?
Yeah, Conte.
He's Makalele after Makalele in it.
Yeah. Well, because the only reason why is because, you know, Makalele was like the founder of the CDM. Like, they call it the Makalele position. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only reason why I would say... He would be in there because he's like one of those guys who kind of gets overlooked too. But I guess he was kind of a bit before. He was in the 90s more.
Would you consider Salah for a list like this?
Absolutely not. No. Any of these players are over Salah.
Yeah. No, I see that. I'm trying to think who else.
I think you were expecting me to be a bit more harsh on this list. It's not a good list. I'm going to tell you that for certain. It's not a good list.
Yeah.
But I like the chunk of players they chose. I really do.
I'm just trying to, like, make sure that we're not forgetting anyone so we don't.
I know.
Chiellini
Ooh,
and Bonucci.
Yeah, that's a bad leave.
Boateng. I mean, I'm just naming center backs. I'm thinking.
Chiellini, yes. Fuck.
Oh, my. Like, Cannavaro. No Cannavaro. The fucking Ballon d'Or winner, Cannavaro.
I was thinking about the Italians. Like, I was thinking, because I guess Maldini probably retired in like 2000 something, so he wouldn't be on that.
Who?
Maldini.
Yeah. But Cannavaro won the Ballon d'Or in 2006.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, so, Maldini retired in 2009. Like, low key.
But he was like 42 when he retired.
No, I know. Fair. Cannavaro, though? Like, yeah.
Cannavaro should fucking be on here.
I think so as well. Yeah, he won in 2006. That's fucked.
Bro, like, okay, Vidic, so Vidic, Ferdinand.
like,
okay.
Hey, I'm not putting...
William
like,
Saliba?
I'm not putting Bergkamp William Saliba on this. I'm not putting Bergkamp on this list.
Yeah. Eden Hazard? No,
I think Cannavaro has to be on this list. He has to be on this list. Absolutely.
Okay, I'm glad I thought of some. Because that would have been like embarrassing the ball knowledge a little bit.
But then it's like, who do you take out?
Who would I take out? I would take out... I can fucking answer this right away. Let's see. Patrick Vieira.
That's who I'm looking at too. That's honestly
Pirlo.
What I'm looking at.
Pirlo is also on the
front. I know, but then.
And listen, I'm still getting Italian love if I put Cannavaro in there instead.
Yeah,
but
valid.
Pirlo was fucking fantastic in his day, but.
I know. So do this, I don't think we should go 25. I think we should go 10. I think we figure out a 10 and we stick with that. Because 25, yeah. I think once you get to 25, that's why I think this list is hard. Once you get to 25, it's subjective. That's my thing. I think if you can get a top 10, I feel like that is more set in stone.
Fair.
Than a 25. We can do 25. I just think 10 is a better...
Let's do 10. Let's do 10.
Okay.
Let's do 10. So number one, Lionel Messi. Number two, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
Set in stone.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
Number three.
I already have no idea. Like, genuinely.
I would say it's between Neymar and Zidane for me.
See, I want to give it Neymar. I really do.
Like, number but 20 is ridiculous, bro.
Is he the third best player of this era?
Of this century. Not even this era. This century, yeah, bro. So you'd have to put him over guys like Ronaldinho. I would put him, let's go through the list. I'll put him over Zlatan. I'd put him over De Bruyne. I would put him over Sergio Ramos. I would put him over R9. I would put him over Xavi and Iniesta. Would I put him over Xavi and Iniesta? I don't know.
Zlatan's not on this list, by the way.
I would definitely put him over Mbappe.
Yeah.
Put him over Mbappe for this century so far.
Yeah.
Would I put him over
Modric? By when it's all said and done, though, like I think Mbappe's third, low key.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, yeah.
Which is 15 years away, so shut up, Blake. But like, still, yeah, we can do Neymar third.
Neymar's really weird because he could either be third or he could be out of your top 10. He's so hard to judge.
I know.
Fucking best on the ball, like. Second best in the ball, potentially of all time after Lionel Messi. But like was a chronic fucking partier and drinker. Was I'm part of like the best front three in world football history, but then left Barcelona. Won so much at PSG, but low-key failed there. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Such a complicated fucking legacy, bro. 19 is ridiculous.
See,
or 20.
I'm biased because I never watched Dino like that. I didn't watch Dino like that. Yeah. So I don't know.
We know but a my lot. Gut, fuck, man.
But yeah. My gut is saying him over. I think Dino's in the top 10. R9's in the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zidane's in the top 10.
Yeah, 100% he's in the top 10. I would actually, low-key, now I'm thinking about it, I would argue Zidane number 3.
I'm okay with that too.
So we say Messi, Ronaldo, Zidane.
Yeah.
Number 4 could be Henry.
I can put Neymar 4 though. Like,
yeah.
As a footballer at their, if we're going at their,
I know,
prime,
but then he, I started thinking a little bit about what he did, like what he won.
And no,
it's like,
I know.
It comes up a little bit disappointing.
But technically, he did it. Neymar won everything besides the Ballon d'Or.
But he should have won more, you know?
Sure.
All these guys at the top of this list of the century won everything multiple times.
True.
Except Thierry Henry, never won a Ballon d'Or, which is ridiculous for number 3.
Fair. Yeah. He should have won one.
But fucking Pavel Nedved beat him to the Ballon d'Or and is not on this list.
He should, Well, he should have won one. He absolutely should have won one.
Yeah.
You know what? Do we rank the midfielders, like the Xavis and the, like, I think Busquets and like those kind of, I think Busquets and Modric, I think they're on the lower end. I think Busquets and Modric are like the 10 to 25 range.
I had Modric in my top 10. I would have Modric over Iniesta and Xavi.
Oh.
And? Oh, no, I was going to say something even more outrageous. I'm looking at Mbappe as the one that misses out on the top 10.
Yeah, he's not in the top 10. No.
He misses out on the top 10. Like, I'm also looking.
This is hard.
I. See, Ronaldinho was fucking fantastic in his day, but he fell off so quickly and kind of had the same issues as Neymar where he kind of got distracted from football a little bit.
But then so did R9, not for different reasons, but R9 fell off like a cliff too. You know what I'm saying?
Because of injuries. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of more of an asterisk because of the injuries. I put R9 and Ronaldinho, I think, over guys like Xavi and Iniesta.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that as well.
Okay, so I'd say Messi, Ronaldo, Zidane, and number 4. Number 4, who do we say?
Do we say Neymar?
Number four, Neymar. Number five, I would put Modric over Henri.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that.
Why?
I can't do that. Bro? I can't Why? Do that.
Why?
I can't do that.
Why?
Henri is the one thing, again, different leagues. The one thing Modric can't say is he was never the genuine best player in the world. And I think Henri was. I think Henri was at a point. When he went to, even in his Arsenal days, but when he went to Barca, I'm going to pull up stats for you. When
but he went that's to Barca, a little unfair to say because he played, sure? He played in the Messi-Ronaldo era.
Sure, sure. But
you cannot, like, you almost can't compare that, right?
That's fair. It's a hard comparison. I don't know.
And Thierry Henry, they have his accomplishments listed here. And so he won a World Cup. He won a European Championship. Two-time Premier League winner, La Liga winner. He, after Arsenal, it kind of goes a little bit sour for Henry.
No, but he won the Champions League with Barca. What are you talking about?
His stint at Barcelona was a little bit sour, Blake.
He won a Champions League. What? How?
I know, but individually, like what he did there, what his expectations were there.
Sure, and then, but I don't know. Like he,
I think if his name was Alex Scott, English guy no. from.
No, from, stop! Don't
from
is Bury, he the best UK? Is he the best Premier League player?
If he had no aura, he wouldn't fucking be on this list. I think his PR is insane.
Mm. Oh my, bro, you're so is he? He's the best Premier League player ever, though.
I would say that, yeah, but we're not talking about Premier League.
Yeah, but that says all you need to know here.
But everybody we're comparing him with didn't play in the Premier League, so that doesn't make sense.
No, but I'm telling you, like. His traction wasn't just like for vibes.
But he was in the Premier League. Well, he was at his peak in the Premier League for like 3-4 seasons. And then he went to Barcelona, where from there it was a little bit downhill. Then he came back from then he came back to Arsenal and didn't go the greatest.
Well, yeah, because he was old as fuck then.
I know he was, but still his career after Barca was a little bit just unconvincing, if I'm honest with you.
I mean, in 08-09, he scored 19 goals and had 7 assists in 29 games. Like, that's good. That's great.
That is fucking great. He's a great player. He's a fucking fantastic player. Luka Modric is... Fuck, dude. Luka fucking Modric, man. He's damn near 40 and still one of the best midfielders.
You can put him over Henri. I wouldn't, just because... Maybe call me biased. And I need to know
six-time Champions League winner, four-time La Liga winner,
cool
Ballon d'Or winner.
I can use the exact same thing.
Ride Croatia.
I can use the exact same thing, Julian. Modric was playing. Okay, I know. Real Madrid have won like what 3 Champions League in the past year without Ronaldo. Great, cool. I understand that, but the era of Henri's prime had more parity to it. Like every year in those Champions League years where it was just Barca and Real fighting it out, like it was one or the other. I feel like there was more parity in what could have been a winning team when Henri played. So the Champions Leaguers are still deserved. I can't take that away from him. That's why it's so hard to compare. I don't know. You can put Modric over. That's fine.
Let's stop there. We're less than a minute.
Okay.
Okay. So. Yeah. And then let me get recording. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
Okay. Yeah. Give us a final list.
Okay. So what was the last thing you said?
You can put Modric ahead of Henry.
Okay. Thank you. So then that means it goes Messi, Ronaldo, Zidane, Neymar, Modric, Henry.
Suarez is better than Henry, though. Like, genuinely, he just is.
Where did this come from? Hold on.
He just is, though. Way more consistent.
I fucking agree with that, actually.
Way more consistent.
Bro, Henry could be out of this top 10, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't think Henry's in this top 10.
Look at this change. Holy shit.
Like, Zlatan's not better than Henry, because no, Zlatan won shit. Benzema just wasn't as good as Henry ever was.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Lewandowski.
I'd still put Henry.
But I think Suarez is the best nine we've ever seen.
He's up there. What about Aguero?
No.
Fuck, man. I think Aguero is so underrated. Anywho. Okay. So. So, fuck. So, no Henry.
I think whatever Henry's place is, put it in Suarez. I think Suarez is better than Henry.
We put Henry six, then. So, put.
Okay. Suarez six is weird.
So, then we could put. If we put Modric 5, this is taking way too long. We put Modric 5, then let's bring in R9 and Ronaldinho.
Yes, yes.
We put R9 6, Ronaldinho 7.
Yes.
I think we put either Iniesta or Xavi.
Yeah.
Either one of them, at least and one Suarez. Of them. So that's Messi, Ronaldo,
Zizou,
Zidane, Neymar, Modric, R9, Ronaldinho, who else?
Xavi, Iniesta.
Xavi, Iniesta, Suarez. Let me review who else was there.
I wish we had the other two here, because they would definitely help us with this.
Yeah. De Bruyne, Sergio Ramos. We didn't put any center backs in there.
Nope.
No Puyol, no Benzema.
I mean, Cannavaro. I don't know if Cannavaro makes something. He's so good.
No, Kaka, no. Rooney, no. Yeah, Luis Suarez at number 24, bro. That's crazy. Yeah. Anywho, okay. I'm happy with that list. Same. I'm happy with that fucking list.
Mm-hmm.
A big bias towards his hackers, but I'll take it.
But that's footy in it.
Yeah. No one dreams to be a right back in it. Okay. Okay. So good. Not bad at all.
I'm cool with that as well.
Just to
put in perspective. So Henry in 258 games, Premier League games, had 175 goals, which is a great phenomenal return.
Yeah.
So remember that, 258, 175, okay?
258, 175.
And then we can wrap up. But 258, 175, that's in their prime. Yeah. For Luis Suarez, so in his prime with Barca, Suarez had a 0.69. And that's not factoring his crazy times at Liverpool. So,
and he wasn't even the main goal scorer on his team.
Yeah, true.
So almost, true. Bro, a goal. Like you go into a game and you're like, there's a 70% chance that I'm going to score in this one.
It's crazy. It's ridiculous.
That's fucking crazy, bro. Yeah. You know, if like Lamine Yamal scores, like gets like 40 goals and assists for the next 20 seasons in a row, he's still going to have less than Ronaldo Messi.
We were blessed.
Holy fuck, dude. Wow.
It's crazy.
And we spent the entire time hating on one or the other.
Pretty much.
Yep. I can't wait to be like 40, absolutely washed, and just look back at games from like 2017. And my kids are gonna make so much fucking fun of me, but I'm gonna be like,
I know.
This is my pride, man.
This is the best. These were the days. These were the days.
I know. And we make fun of our parents for being obsessed with their youth. And fuck.
It's going to be us.
That is going to be us. You see the jersey I'm rocking? Guess who's on the back?
I saw it's Ronaldo. I saw.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. But anyways, I don't know when the next time we're going to pod is. It's like kind of the dead season now that the.
Yeah.
Windows are done. But if we have like another topic like this, like a ESPN list to analyze, something like that, especially mm-hmm. once we get the rest of the gang back together, we're fucking cooking. We're I'm fucking down. Cooking, bro. Okay. Also, we have a big announcement coming up for some fans. Fingers crossed, but like 90%.
Yeah.
90%. Yeah. All right. We're doing a medical. Basically.
Yeah, we're fine. Got a pass.
Okay. Yeah, bro. And in a month, we're back at school. We're back in the studio.
I know, which is going to make things so much better.
I know.
They're not bad right now, but it'll just be better.
I'm getting used to like this whole thing with.
Yeah, no. Me too.
We've done like 15 episodes of this. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
No, less than that. Maybe 10. Anywho. Let's wrap this up. All right. Blake, fantastic episode.
Mm-hmm.
What are you most excited for about footy in the next week, let's say? And I'm talking like a game or a transfer.
I mean, Arsenal getting a striker, like realistically, that's what I hope we can do.
When is the Arsenal versus United game? Let's see.
Bro, like enough. Fuck.
You know those tickets are going for like $1,000.
That's crazy.
That's fucking crazy. It's mm-hmm. this Saturday.
Wow.
In 3 days time. Arsenal versus United in SoFi Stadium, LA.
What important information that we needed to share on the podcast, Julia?
Dude, well, we're going to fucking talk about this game next pod we do. All right. I hope you know.
You think I'm watching that game? That's hilarious. You're not gonna be able to watch either. You're watching some dodgy stream.
I will. Oh, and UFC's gonna be on at that time,
bro. Like, it's not that deep. It's okay.
Okay, but it's not that deep until Arsenal win and you come on here. Fucking
I don't say
me.
That, bro. End the pod. I'm done with you.
Okay. Okay. Blake, good talk. Our first two man pod. I think it went well. Mm-hmm. If there's going to be a two-man pod for this podcast, this is the best possibility.
I think so. I think so.
And Antoine Miles won. A little ropier.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I love them. I love them. No, I love them still. I love them still. Also, I wish Miles is here because I went golfing for the first time and I'd love to tell him about it.
There you go. Save it for next pod. There you go.
I'm saving it now. I want to review my form. Yeah. Okay, everybody. Well, whatever happens with footy for the next little while, don't know when we're going to see you next, but whatever it is, I hope you enjoy it. We're going to take not a break, but just a little, we're going to take some time to relax and kind of, we'll see you when we see you when footy gets important again. But until then, hope you enjoy yourselves and we'll see you all pretty soon still. Goodbye, everybody. Yo. Bye-bye.